Welcome to Hacking Postgres, a podcast about extensions, extension creators, and other interesting, innovative things in the world of Postgres. I'm Rye Walker, founder of Tembo, a managed Postgres company, and today I'm here with Yalta Fenomeno. Yalta, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. Happy to be here.
Yeah, great to have you. Maybe just start with a little background. What were you doing before Postgres? Where did you grow up, and you know what led you to this strange world?
So, I grew up in a town in the Netherlands, and then I went to university in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
And there I did computer science bachelor, and then a systems and network engineering master, which is basically fancy name for like hacking and how the internet works. And there I sort of actually made my first Postgres contribution in a sense.
Oh,
because
wow.
we found a security vulnerability in Postgres sort of by accident at some point.
Oh, cool. While you were in school.
While I was in school, yes.
What year was it, early or later?
That was at the end, near the end of university.
So it's 2017,
I think.
Yep.
Something like that.
So you started becoming a troublemaker right then, huh?
Yes.
How bad of a vulnerability was it that you found?
Or what was it? It wasn't too bad, I would say. Well, it was hard to say because for ethical reasons we weren't allowed to test how widespread it was. But the vulnerability was basically that libpq based clients. So the C library that Postgres provides for connecting to Postgres,
yep.
they would disallow sending an empty password. So it if you set an empty password for a user, it looked like no one could log in because you couldn't even send the password.
Yeah.
But when you did that, actually, it was sort of other, like if you like with other clients, you could use an empty password. So it was like a client side check on the empty password. So there might have been people that sort of tried to disable like logging in with a password for a user by setting it to an empty password, but then actually having an empty password as the password. So that was fixed eventually.
How'd you stumble across that? Was that just a standard pattern you were testing, or yeah? Do you remember?
Someone just
accidentally tried it and say, hey, that shouldn't have worked.
I think we were trying it was sort of an accident. We weren't really looking for this. It was just so one of us was using the Go client and the other was using a Python client, and then with one it worked and with the other it didn't. So yeah. that was like, oh wait, this is maybe not good.
Yeah, shouldn't be that way. Yeah. So then what'd you do after university? Where'd you go there?
Then I went working at Stream, which is a SaaS company that does chat and like news feeds, like Twitter kind of feeds for in your own app. So if you have a versus like an app or a website where you sell houses, like where realtors sell houses, you can have follow certain houses for update, for certain type of houses for updates, and chat directly with the realtor in that one app, those kind of things. We used Postgres there heavily. And also university, I like some side job where we used Postgres.
Yeah.
Is
that Stream, Striim, or how do you spell Stream?
No, it's just Striam.
Standard.
.io, Striim.io.
Got it.
And then the URL is getstream.io because stream.io was already taken. So there I spent some time on working like a in-house replicated key value store. And then I like databases, so I realized I liked distributed databases, and I joined like the Citus team at Microsoft.
Yeah.
There I'm working on distributed Postgres, basically.
Got it. Are you still working on that today? That's your current? Or?
Yeah. So I mean, I'm doing lots of different things. That's kind of my thing. So I am doing Citus. I'm also doing PG Bouncer. I'm doing all kinds of like random Postgres patches sometimes.
Yeah.
So I'm doing lots of different things, but all sort of related to Postgres at the moment.
Nice, nice. What's your favorite project like that you're working on right now? Would you say it's still back to that streaming stuff, or is it, or do you, you know, kind of curious, like what's the, if you could work on anything this afternoon, what would it be?
What would it be? I think probably PG Bouncer. I feel like Postgres connection pooling is sort of, it's a hard problem. Yeah. And it's not really great yet. Like yeah. PG Bouncer sort of, I mean, I tried a few, and in the end, like settled on like PG Bouncer still sort of the best yeah. at the moment for sort of the generic case at least. But like so some others, they have some really like so some nice features for sort of specific features.
Yeah.
Some other connection poolers, but it's not a connection pooling in Postgres is not a solved problem. That's my take.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, obviously, like Supabase launched their supervisor. I don't know how. Are there ideas in there that you think the PG Bouncer should utilize, or is it just a different use case?
I think there's definitely ideas in there. I think one that's very that to me is quite interesting is like being able to configure also sort of the connection pooler from Postgres, because they instead of having like config files, they basically like supervisor yeah. reads from some other Postgres database and it reads its config and it reads its so that's kind of nice. Because writing ini files is like it's like sort of automatically generating .ini files. It's not really fun.
Yeah. Can you modify PG Bouncer without restarting it if you need to change configs right now?
Yeah. Most configs you can change without. There's a few that you can't, but the most common ones you can.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Yeah. We've got it implemented or integrated into, we chose it too for Tembo Cloud, you know, as our, pool connection pooler as well. It just seems like it's the granddaddy, and you just kind of, I think it just seems like the one that should be the most solid and therefore probably is the most solid, you know, like
I would definitely say it has solved the most strange edge cases, but there's definitely some use cases that it doesn't solve very well.
Yeah.
I think sort of the major one at the moment is like HA kind of like sort of HA style. Like you have sort of a layer of connection poolers that can connect to multiple read replicas
yeah.
and automatically stop connecting to one that's broken. That's one that PG Bouncer doesn't really support.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so that if that's what you want, then PG Bouncer is not really the right choice. But for most other cases, I would say it's probably a good first choice.
So likewise, like if Postgres suddenly active was perfect, right? Could you use PG Bouncer in that setup, you know, where there's two active front, you know, servers?
Yeah, so that's definitely very interesting sort of to me as well, because with Citus, it's not active, but it's the regular sense. It's still like there's sort of one node that owns the shard. But you can connect to all the workers, and then they will forward queries to the right, to the right node. So in a sense, you have like multiple writable replicas in some way of looking at it. So it's definitely something that's indeed like an interesting thing, and it's something that I would like to have, but it's not really there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I keep saying, like, you know, if I have a Postgres that, let's say, has 8 gigs, eight CPUs, whatever, I would much prefer it to be a pair of fours, you know, that are load balanced effectively. You know, if one goes down, you don't have to go through like the oh shit. You know, obviously have them be a little bit over provisioned so that one of them could take, you know, at least a good part. Maybe it takes the entire load, but is a little sluggish. And then, you know, while the other node kind of gets rehabbed. it just seems like way more exciting to me to be using the compute that I'm paying for to make everything faster, you know, versus, you know, and I guess Citus kind of does that, right? It's, but you have to be at a certain scale, you know, for that to make sense.
Yeah, for sure. Citus mostly makes sense at least some scale, but yeah. But otherwise with read replicas, it's still, I mean, this such HA setup, it's kind of nice that you can have like, oh, this node can just go away and everything still continues to work.
How low can Citus scale? Like, you know, in my scenario of, you know, just like a, let's say it's an 8 CPU sort of setup. That's way too small, right? Like,
I mean, it will work. It's just that it would be faster if you just installed Postgres. I guess that's sort of the, like, usually it's with these kind of scalable solutions. It's like, they are more scalable, but you lose some performance ahead, basically. I mean it really depends on the kind of workload you're running, but I would say it's not uncommon to sort of have like maybe like half the performance sort of at the start, just because there's network latency, and if it's all one node, you don't have the network latency, but then there's like still, I mean, there's Citus has overhead to be able to do this distributed planning. It adds more tables, so there's more.
Yeah,
there's all kinds of, well, just extra code that needs to be run. If you're not using it to scale out, then it's not. You only have overhead, basically.
Right. Yeah, that's right. That's a good point. You want to have, it's there for the scale out. Yeah. So how many people are like kind of sort of active with the Pooler project, with are you kind of running that solo, or do you have some good partners in crime to make progress on it?
So there's like, I sort of became maintainer, I want to say like a year ago, 1.5 maybe. I reached out to Peter Eisentrout, who was the sort of he was a maintainer, but he didn't have a lot of time to spend because he's busy with so many things, I think, also like lots of other things. So I was like, maybe I can help. We at Microsoft use it a lot. I can help review or like do things.
Yeah.
And move it a bit forward. And then he also, then someone from EDB, like Euler, he also joined. But yeah, so I would say I'm definitely the most active maintainer. And from Microsoft, I'm also trying to get some people from my team to spend some more to address some issues. So one colleague of me, she's also working on it.
Got it. Is there a new release coming sometime soon?
In 2 days at the moment of recording, so I don't know when this recording will be published. By the time it will be published, I guess the new release will also be published.
Ah, cool. Yeah. Well, maybe we should hurry this one out so that we can. So what's new in the, what's the, you know, what are the big, or, you know, changes? I don't have to say big changes, but what are the, what's new in the new release?
So I think this release is fairly small. It's mostly, the last release was really big. So it's sort of to cancel that out a bit. The last release finally added prepare statement support in transaction pooling mode, which is, I don't know, I think it's like the most requested feature for PG Bouncer, I don't know, forever, basically. I don't know, it's on the wish list for 20 years, or I don't know how this project is, but I was happily surprised that it worked so well, because I haven't really received much, like I only received one sort of bug report. And that was from the Prisma client. It's a JavaScript or TypeScript client for Postgres, and they sort of implement their own. They don't use libpq, so they implemented it their own way, just like many others. But I tested a lot of others, but the Prisma client I didn't test. And there was some they used deallocate all, and that wasn't supported. So but then someone from the Neon team that also contributed a lot to the prepare statement patch itself. He sort of he provided a fix, and so it took a while. I was on honeymoon, so and then there was the holidays, and then the Windows build was broken because OpenSSL 3.2 came out and it broke everything. So it took a bit longer to package this sort of somewhat small release than I wanted, but I'm planning to sort of release it this Wednesday, basically, and then at least Prisma Client will also work, and then for the next release there's a lot of big things sort of on my list to try and get it.
Yeah. What's the, just give me one from the list, future list that you might try.
Replication connections, making that work, because okay. It's hard, yeah. Being able to do logical replication through PG Bouncer, that's one big one. Another is rolling restarts that sort of work a bit better.
Got it. Yeah, I always wondered like if it was like a standby, if you're just replicating to a standby, it probably doesn't have like lots of active connections that need a pooler necessarily. Is that
that's very true. So it's not so much for like physical replication in this case. It's more for logical replication for things like the Debezium, like CDC type things where you change data capture that people want to connect to Postgres and then get the logical replication stream.
Yeah.
And before you would have to, basically you would need a separate endpoint. You would need like a direct Postgres endpoint and connect to that instead of going through PG Bouncer. And that's one. If in these managed services, sometimes it's nice to only provide like a PG Bouncer endpoint.
Yeah.
Or like at least give people only one endpoint and then they can't mess stuff up.
Yeah.
So we're trying to make it a bit more, we're trying to make PG Bouncer a bit more like a fully transparent
proxy. Okay. So that you can maybe just get to a single. Yeah. Is that?
Yeah. At the moment, we're not there yet, but it's one of those things that could provide some fun things.
Yeah. No, I understand that. I understand now why you'd want to do it is just to eliminate the confusion of, well, and again, I'm sure sometimes people mean to be connected to the PG Bouncer, but they're not, you know, and they just don't realize it. It's hard.
Yeah.
So some old application maybe is still hitting the original URL. So yeah, that's cool. So are you involved in the commercial products there in any way, or are you completely isolated from that in your role?
No, it's definitely. I mean, Citus is used in like Cosmos DB for Postgres on Azure, which is basically like in a sense it's managed Citus.
Yep.
Managed Citus on Azure, and that. So I mean, I work with those teams sort of regularly. Also with the other Postgres managed service offerings that we have at Azure. So I'm working on sort of our Postgres extensions team is what we call it now. So all the things around, some colleagues of mine are working on some AI extensions and work on PG Vector, those kind of things.
Got it.
We're working on extensions and sort of tooling that can be used by the managed service. So we're definitely working with the commercial side as well.
Yeah. Supporting what they need. That's great. Yeah. I imagine having Citus move into CosmoDB is probably creating a lot more usage, and I would call it almost casual usage or maybe even misusage, right? If it's like easy to use, you probably get people like just pulling it off the shelf and hitting it in weird ways, right?
I would definitely say like the hardest problem with Citus is that it gives a bit too much freedom to people. If you know what you're doing, it's amazing. But if you don't know what you're doing, sometimes it's a bit complex. And then people do something in a weird way, and then they're sort of stuck with this weird way. And then like a year after, you get support requests, and you're like, what happened here?
Yeah. Well, I guess it's making it stronger to have it be, you know.
The best QA tests are customers, I would say.
Yeah, that's right.
They can think of the weirdest things to do.
Yeah. What are some things going on in the overall Postgres ecosystem that you're excited about? Maybe stuff you're not working on yourself, but just, you know, that kind of has your eye.
I think one thing that's, I mean, it's, I don't know, it's been going on for forever, I feel like, but like better like logical replication of DDL and stuff like that, the general logical replication improvements.
Yeah.
Because for Citus, we, for instance, to be able to move shards around, or like when you scale out and move shards to the new node, we use logical replication to do that, to have zero downtime on writes, but you will still have downtime on DDL. So that's fine for a lot of applications, but there's also these kind of ETL jobs where people just create many tables all the time, and temporary tables that are like dropped and then recreated. Yeah. And so then you do have sort of this write downtime because your writes are actually doing create table.
Yeah,
and that's not supported by logical replication. That's definitely always something sort of like keep an eye on a bit. But yeah, there's many people working on that.
But yeah, like, is that one of the things that could make it into 17, or is that out beyond that?
I haven't followed along so well with that. I'm at the moment I'm focusing on the patches I tried to get in myself. I think that's
yeah.
The...
Yeah, it's getting to be crunch time comes soon, right? Like
I think it's the last 2 days of the last few days of this commit fest, and then there's one more for PG17, and then you're too late. So
that's great.
End of March is the deadline.
Yeah. Yeah, so even though you're working on the extensions team, like some of the work you would need to do touches the core, and therefore, you know, you're part at least partially in that world versus pure extensions.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's true.
Yeah.
It's pretty much true of anyone doing extensions, I would guess. You know, if you just discover opportunities to make Postgres a little bit better in the course of using building these extensions, I imagine.
No, that's definitely true. I think lots of the patches that I see are people wanting to do more with extensions. Like I think one is also like extending copy, being able to extend copy with different file formats. So you could do like copy to a Parquet file or copy to a JSON file, or like instead of just a CSV, or I don't know, a binary and text, I think is the other two. But yeah, it would be nice to have a few more output formats. So those kind of things, I feel like that one seemed like it was sort of on the right track when I took a quick look at it.
Yeah.
But I would say a lot of patches posted on the mailing list, they're there to make extensions more powerful.
Yeah. Do you, I was going to say, like, do you have any contrarian viewpoints on Postgres? Is there anything like you just feel like you think a different way than, and you can't be convinced otherwise, or do you find yourself, you know, it's pretty easy to conform to the consensus on everything?
I would say my sort of hot take on this is that the mailing list is something that this, why do we still have this?
Oh yeah.
This is like, well, why don't we use GitHub or I don't know if you don't like GitHub, something else, but something where there's not like two different sites that track what commits are sort of trying to get into the mainline, where people actually having to download email attachments. It feels very, very antiquated.
Yeah, email threads sucked in 1999 and they still suck now, right? Like just getting nested. I don't know. Is there a special email client that helps make it more palatable to you? I
don't know. I haven't. Yeah. I'm still using Gmail. It's not great. That's what I do though.
Yeah.
So I'm almost at the point where I'm like, I have to find out what email client works a bit better. But
yeah,
it's also, I don't do it often enough that it's Like, I think if you work full time on Postgres, it's maybe it's not so much of a problem for you because you're like, okay, I need to get this setup amazing, and then you find a good email client and it's fine. But if you're just coming along to contribute a few patches a year or like review some things, it's just painful.
Yeah. It'd be kind of interesting. I imagine you could, I don't know if it would work. It would probably be kind of messy, but you could build like a tool that get GitHubifies the conversations, right? And just turns it into tickets and threads and stuff. But that's building a whole email client just for one mailing list. Cause not many other mailing lists do it this way, but I don't know. It's a tricky problem. I understand why like, you know, people who are most comfortable with it are the ones that probably do the most, spend the most time in it, you know, so it's tricky. But yeah, it's definitely a culture shock for someone, younger people who aren't from that, the generation of dealing with email threads. Ugh, they've never been good. Wow. All right, so that's a good one. I don't even know if that's contrarian though. I think that's pretty much like.
Yeah, it depends who you ask, I guess.
Yeah.
But I think that's pretty much helped by everyone that joined the Postgres community after a certain, and they started to program after a certain time, basically.
Yeah. Would anything else? Any other contrarian views on anything there, or is that pretty much the main one?
No, I would say that's the main. That's probably the main one. Other than that, I think it's going fairly well with Postgres. It's moving along. Every release has a few cool new features. So it's or actually many new features usually.
Well, what I think is beautiful about it is I spent a lot of time in other open source ecosystems, and like a fork was like, is considered like an attack on the project, right? And in Postgres, it's just been forked so many times that it's really a way to innovate quicker, you know, and basically do some work and get value and help the core. Like no one creates a fork with the intention of it staying a fork, I don't think. I mean, maybe some commercial forks or something, but that's usually, I'd say that's an ill-conceived notion, you know, and I'm guessing even someone who would do like a deep commercial fork would hope that they can lighten it up over time, you know, and get pieces of it into the core.
Even if you have some core commercial parts, you kind of want at least to have to be able to merge stuff back to your fork. So that's probably easiest if there's not so much fork.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
If there's not so big of a diff. You're spending all your time merge conflicting.
That's why I say, like, anyone who complains, any company who would complain, oh, Postgres is moving too slowly. It's like, you can make it go whatever speed you want. Just fork it and do what no, I want you to do the work and I want you to do it faster. Yeah. Like that doesn't work so much. I think it's beautiful the speed that core project moves right now, because it feels like it's 100% solid. I know it's not perfectly 100% solid, but it feels as solid as it can be, you know, in the pace, and there doesn't seem rushed. That's unusual in most, as you know, it's very unusual for most software. You know, we're all just, you know, you kind of have to force yourself to ship well before you think it's good, just because it's good to get broken software in users' hands, you know, and to find out how it's broken.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No. It's. I'm glad Postgres doesn't do that so much. That's definitely. Yeah, like databases are a bit of a different kind of software in that regard.
Yeah, I agree.
Also, because it's hard to update them. Like even PG Bouncer, it's less of a problem if it's a bit broken, because you can easily roll it back, or like, you know, like, oh no, the new release, it caused some problems, I'll just install the other version and it's fine.
Yeah. I think I agree with you completely. Do you listen to podcasts very much?
Not very often, no.
Yeah, okay. I was just curious if you had any favorites. What's some of your favorite content? Do you watch TV, movies? Like
I watch Netflix. I'm watching The Office. The Office US. I didn't watch it all the way back when, but I don't know. It was recommended on Netflix, and that's very funny.
It's like, that's one of the shows that I think couldn't, it's politically incorrect in a lot of ways. It couldn't get made now, I don't think. Do you think?
No, it's some of the humor didn't age well. It's like, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Get canceled real quick. I agree. That's a great show. I have a few children that are young, and I'm like, oh, you know, like, you could watch Mad Men, you know, like you haven't, like, there's so many great shows that have happened, you know, in my lifetime that, you guys, the younger people have such a wealth of content to get through. So I don't blame you. Well, that's great. Well, it was great meeting you. I hope to, run into you some more, maybe at some conferences and, you know, whatever, but, are you online? Do you use Twitter or?
I use Twitter sometimes. I'm not super active, but I post once in a while. I post something.
All right. Well, we'll follow you and share your Twitter handle with this podcast. But it was great chatting with you, and looking forward to seeing the next release of PG Bouncer.
Thanks. Yeah, it was great chatting with you as well.
All right. Thanks.